We're back, folks. It's the Agriculture Show, and the studio's been closed, but we're back in studio, and a beautiful day here in April, and this is episode number 279, April the 12th of 2022. Today's guest is Krista Kressman, and as you all know, as longtime listeners to our show, my guests, I put them right to work, and I say, bring along four or five songs that you like, and Krista has done that very well, and we're going to start off with that, and Krista, tell us what song you got, and why do you like it?
Well, my first pick is my truest love, which is David Bowie, and I picked one of his older albums, the Station to Station album, and Heroes. I love his voice. I love this song, and it never fails to get my fingers tapping, and I just happen to love David Bowie and have since I was a teenager.
All right.
I am Jennifer Walser, and you are listening to CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo.
Hi, this is Poor Charlie, and I must tell you, I've been to Mississippi, and I've been to Nicollet. I've been to the Earth Bay on the West Coast, and I've been down to Trinity Bay in Newfoundland. And I love community radio, because that's how you find out what's happening, man.
And you can also listen to us here at CKMS, the Agriculture Show, to find out what's happening. And today, Krista Kressman is very kindly in studio, and we're going to cover all kinds of cool things. But first of all, let's talk about this song. Krista, tell us a little story about you. Do you like this guy? You had some interesting comments while we were waiting for the song to play. What can you tell our listeners about this song?
About the one that's coming up?
No, the one you just played.
The one I just played. Well, David Bowie is one heck of a artist. I always joke that I was born in the wrong decade. I should have been born a good 10 years earlier so I could have truly enjoyed the 70s. you know, really gotten into it and been able to go see all the concerts I wanted to go see. I did say that to Jeff that I was lucky enough to get to see David Bowie before he died, and that, you know, as we age, that seems to be the thing. You know, I got to go see so and so before they die. You know, you get your bucket list of musicians that you got to get checked off. Who's left that I haven't seen? And every time the next announcement comes out, and with COVID, none of us have been anywhere in 2 years. So now we're just chomping at the bit for the summer shows to start. I know I'm so excited. I have to hold myself back.
Well, you have to come back in and tell us how your summer music adventure went. That'd be great.
Oh, getting them lined up. Ready.
Let's get to know you a little bit more, Krista. If you have a Kressman family feast, whether it's Christmas or Easter coming up, how many people sit around that feast table?
Well, it's funny. As families, you know, as you grow up and your nuclear family changes, I have kids who are teenagers now and have jobs and are doing their thing. Mostly what we're doing with my one side of the family, with my mom's side of the family, is that all of us try to get together twice a year. We try to get together at Easter and we try to get together at Christmas time. Often we try to do it before Christmas, before everybody gets stuck with all of the Christmas holiday parties. And we just really make it casual. It's a potluck. We all get together. We relax. We have fun. We chat. We catch up. Everybody, you know, it's a chance for us to catch up and see everybody's kids. You know, everybody had kids at different times. Mm-hmm. I see my cousins. And so I look forward to it every year. And now with COVID, we were really looking forward to this Easter, but one end of the family just tested positive. So it looks like we're going to have another low-key Easter. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that when it comes to the food we eat, you got to eat local. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorites is the Honey Ham Company in Cambridge. Mm. They make the best spiral sliced ham ever.
All right.
That's what you got to go for.
It's good to have a fair, because that sort of gets into the second part of the question I had, was what kind of traditions you have for Christmas. Do you like to open the presents before Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
In my family, in my immediate family with my kids, we're getting away from presents per se.
Okay.
So I love stockings. Stockings was something my mom did for us when we were kids, and it was our favorite part. And so Santa would come and you'd wake up and your stocking would be jam-packed, and sometimes all kinds of crazy little things, you know, goofy candy. And we weren't kids who were ever allowed to have candy. So the candy was a big hit, you know, so I still do that for my kids, even though they're grown. That's our favorite thing. And so they get, they always get something, you know, fun. They get all the fun stuff. And of course, you know, the usual stuff. You got to shove underwear and socks in there. Underwear, socks, and a big old orange. And then we are giving more lately, not so much this past year. I give the kids a trip. So we go, do something. Right. So we do something or go somewhere, making memories rather than stuff. I'm really trying to get away from the stuff, the accumulation. I always get a book or something like that, but really trying to get away from that stuff and instead make memories. The last big trip we went out to Banff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to see family out west, and we just got to see the mountains, and it was a really awesome time. And so really doing those things, it's really become a big thing that I want to try to capture those memories, especially now that they're getting older and they're going to go on and have their own lives.
Well, it goes by pretty quick, and that's a good idea. Just keep recording that stuff.
I don't even know where the time went. I blinked.
Did there any other fun things you do at Christmas? Like, you know, some people go down and cut down the Christmas tree, and some people go for a skate in the pond or something, or play board games. Do you have anything that musicians or something?
I wish we had musicians. We don't have musicians in our family. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess my daughter is kind of. We really Christmas Eve is really, I used to invite all of my dad's side of the family and my brothers and sisters over. Everybody's, two of my siblings have moved out west, so they aren't often home for Christmas. But we try to have like a really low key Christmas Eve and have delicious foods. I used to make French Canadian tortillere every year. That's a tradition. That's a for sure tradition. Yeah. Is the tortillere on Christmas Eve.
That's a good one.
And I've found some places that make delicious ones, so I don't even have to lift a finger. It's even better. I'm telling you, Shakespeare's Pies. It's that place. I had quiche from there the other day that was to die for.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And very so nice. For us, it's you know, sitting down and watching Christmas movies. So we kind of do like a Christmas movie marathon on Christmas Eve.
Wow, that's a good one too.
You got to kick it off with Elf because that's one of my favorites.
That's
and this
right.
year we played all of the classics that when I was a little kid, the claymation ones that we used to wait for them to show up on TV. You know, you'd be looking at the TV guide. I was explaining to my kids, you couldn't wait to you get that weekly TV guide in the newspaper and you'd look through it. Just when is the Christmas special coming on? And you know, you didn't want to miss it. You know, that was your only chance to see it. They only played it once. So those are kind of our family traditions.
Is it hard to get everybody together in one spot? Is this a big
it
family?
Okay. No, I don't have a big family. I have three brothers and sisters, but now that people have moved out west, that makes it tricky. Yeah. And my brother's kids are really, really young. And so they're not that close. So my dad is in town. So he's not too far away, but it's just that thing, you know, as kids get older, they have their own lives. They want to be with their friends.
That's true.
It's hard, you know, it's always a challenge. We're trying to kind of recreate some new, when the kids were younger, we had different traditions than we do now that they're older. So I'm hoping with this pandemic breaking that maybe we can start some new traditions in 2022.
Very nice. Let's play another song. What do you got queued up for us this time?
All right. The next one is Lenny Kravitz. And I'm a lover of Lenny Kravitz from the early 90s. So when he first started out and he was a young punk, I loved his first two albums. His newer stuff, take it or leave it. But this really takes me back to when I was in my late teen years.
It's time to take a stand. listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network.
Yeah, he did a good job here. I'll get you to do a little promo, too, before we get done here today.
I'm Owen Roberts from the GMOs.
Yeah.
You are listening to Community Radio,
CKMS,
Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, or on the Internet at Radio Waterloo. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music.
Welcome back, folks, and thanks for hanging out with us here on a Tuesday afternoon. You could be doing lots of things on a Tuesday, but we really appreciate you spending time with us, and hope your day is going well. It's Krista Kressman is our guest today. Beautiful day outside, and we're just zipping right along here. We talked a little bit about Mr. Kravitz. You want to add anything more to his, you tell our listeners about Dusty, Mr. Kravitz.
Yeah, Lenny. It's funny. We had the video here running on the computer, and you just realize how long ago it was when you see these young musicians looking so young. So young, and we haven't aged at all.
That's true. Well, that's good. Boy, I'm looking forward to hear the rest of your music. It's just a good collection, good fun collection of stuff, and thanks for doing that again. Well, so folks, we're in our, I guess, the third segment or second segment, depending on how long you call the first one. And this is what I like to ask my guests, you know, like to tell them, what do you do? Are you building a boat in the basement, or are you becoming the latest tech guru, whatever you call them. Krista, tell us what you do.
Taking over the world.
Yeah.
Well, what do I do? That's a tough one to answer. I can tell you what I don't do. I've had a really interesting and twisty road. You know, you start out young and you think it's going to be a straight path, and you make one choice and you turn in one direction, and then it takes you in another direction. Mm-hmm. I kind of stumbled into agriculture in the agricultural sector. I grew up in a rural area of Waterloo Region, and my dad got involved in the business, agribusiness in the 90s. And so it was there. And, you know, when you grow up in a small town, all your friends have farms. And you think nothing of it, you know, that someone's got a pig farm, someone's got a dairy farm. You know, you go to your friends' houses and play in the hayloft and jump along the beams and do all kinds of things that, you know, parents today would freak right out if their kids were doing. But nonetheless, you know, we learned a good sense of safe play by having accidents that probably weren't supposed to happen. But from there, I went on and I was a teacher and picked up a contract working for the Oxford County Dairy Farmers, doing dairy education. So really promoting agriculture, promoting farming, but, you know, from a dairy perspective. And it really fit in with my teaching, but I just loved it. I loved the farming, living in a, you know, I lived in a small community. I'm just not a big city person.
Right.
You know, I can do it. I've lived in many big cities, lived in the U.S., lived in Ottawa, Toronto. It's not my thing. I love the small town. I love to watch the seasons change. I'm curious about what's happening. What are they doing? Why are they doing that? What's blooming? What's being harvested? And so for me, it just was this automatic connection. And from there, I got a job working with 4-H. And I just can't say enough about the people. Realistically, the most incredible thing about 4-H is the volunteers.
Yeah. But years and years, some do it, and then or just a few clubs, or just it's another whole story.
There was a guy from Elgin, I want to say, Henry Halder, I think was his name,
okay.
And he volunteered. He had well over 50 years And he was dedicated. You know, he had multiple clubs. And you think about the impact that these volunteers have on young people's lives. Mm, right. They make a difference. You know, they really change. They change things. And these are people who are actively engaged in their community. And a lot of them, most of them, the vast majority, are engaged in agriculture in one way, shape, or form. They may be farm owners. They may be, you know, feed mill employees, nutritionists, veterinarians, you name it. And I think what really drew me to the agriculture and what keeps me here is the people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's the people. It's that commitment to the community, the fact that the land which, and I think this is the thing so many people in cities forget, the land which farmers farm right. and care for, they are custodians of the land. If they were to abuse it, it would not result in much. And soil and nutrients are not something that are easily built. It takes thousands of years to develop that soil. And so farmers are really custodians. It's a long, time-consuming process that, you know, it's you have to roll with it. You have to be committed. And because they're so deeply connected to that, they're also deeply connected to their communities.
Mm-hmm.
And that really appeals to me, you know, that just that commitment. I don't think there are as many communities out there, you know, when you think about professional communities, industries, where people have those kinds of roots, that connection to the land, the connection right. to where they live, because farmers live where they work.
Yep. And after you did the Oxford thing then?
So that was Oxford and 4-H, and I was spent almost a decade, about 8.5, 9 years, being the executive director at Steckley Heritage Farm,
right.
which is an incredible resource in the city of Kitchener. It's a charity owned and operated educational farm. And so it was, I had such a great team. I had great years with a wonderful board of directors, you know, growing this organization to connect with the city of yep. Kitchener, with various community groups, offering programs that educated kids about agriculture. You know, one of my favorite parts, of course, was, you know, our animals and the number every spring, you know, I get the bum lambs, you know, the baby lambs, they'd come in and we'd have them in the office at first because it was too cold to be outside and they'd be in their diapers running around the office. And then it was time to get our chicks and you'd bring the chicks in and just that seasonality of it. I love the animals. You know, we raised calves, we had piglets, seeing that
yeah.
life kind of moving from one stage to another and being able to be actively engaged in it.
Did you ever meet Jean Steckley by chance?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. She had passed away before I was hired.
I just trying to figure out. Time goes by so fast.
It does. Yeah. She was a pretty, and that's the thing, you know, this
but she's
was
pretty
Jean's.
Interesting woman.
She was an
she
incredible.
Spent all that time overseas doing overseas
yep,
work.
And working yep. with the Indigenous people of Canada.
Right.
The big thing that I think people have to stop and think about is, you know, she was the last kid to grow up on that farm property.
Right.
Which was quite significant, you know, that people forget that Steckley Woods is called Steckley Woods because her dad donated that wood lot
okay.
to the city of Kitchener.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he really believed in preserving, that was his wood lot.
Right.
And he was actively preserved it, but also, well, I shouldn't say preserved it, managed it,
because mm-hmm.
he was a really big believer in the management of it. And so really understanding how significant that family was, you know, he was active, her dad was very active in the breeding and promotion of Canadian dairy genetics and, you know, really progressive family. And Jean
yep.
took this family farm that was hers, this property, she purchased it and in turn turned it and donated it in its entirety to a charity, created a charity, you know? What foresight, and to think that now that 14-acre parcel
mm-hmm.
is completely surrounded by suburbia.
Yeah.
Yeah, suburbia, yeah. Business park. And so that was, you know, I'm really proud of the work we did there and the kids and the staff that, you know, the differences, the farming, the teaching kids about, you know, field crops. We always had field crops so that kids could see what does soy look like. You know, kids don't know.
Mm.
What is that corn growing in the field? You know, helping kids understand the value of feed corn and that it's not just for animal feed, but it goes into so many products. And so that was always something we really, really, really enjoyed. And really communicating about the stewardship that that farmers have for the land. My favorite always was the parents, because most of the people coming didn't have a lot of connections with agriculture. And the parents, we used to plant potatoes every spring with the spring school tours. And in the fall, we dig them up.
Right.
And I had a parent ask me if I had came out before the school tours came and buried the potatoes for them to pick up. Because they couldn't believe that that's how potatoes grew.
That's quite an experience. How did you ever top the Steckley experience? What was next?
Oh, how do you top the Steckley experience? Well, I took some time off for my family, did some work, did some consulting work, and did some contract work doing operations and all of the stuff that, you know, the boring stuff that happens in nonprofit mm-hmm. organizations behind the scenes, from year-end reports and website updates and all that stuff that no one really wants to think about, and went on to work for Jersey Canada as their general manager. Mm-hmm. And I spent a year with them, and that was pretty exciting because I've always been passionate about the dairy industry. And let me tell you, Jersey owners are really passionate. Mm-hmm. They are a passionate group, and it's really neat because Jersey, we think of black and white cows as being the dairy cow. And Jerseys are the next largest breed. Now, yeah, 94% of cattle out there in our dairy industry
black
are
Holstein.
They're the black and whites. And they're fantastic animals. They produce a lot of milk. It's really neat. But Jerseys are a whole different thing. And so they are the next largest category. They're about 4% and growing. They're becoming more and more popular. And they're really unique because they came off this little island off the coast of England and France. And their genetics are neat. They're mm-hmm. unique. They have really unique features. They produce milk that's really high fat. They don't produce quite as much volume, but they also have more nutrients than a Holstein cow, more butter fat, mm-hmm. they've higher beta carotene naturally. This is all natural. They also have a really long longevity to how long they live. They're healthy and they are great at reproduction. And so they make a really solid, smaller cow, mm-hmm. but a really solid one. And with the changes in the world today, and we talk about what's the green impact, mm-hmm. they produce less manure. They consume their conversion of feed to how much their output is more efficient than any other breed, which is just fascinating. So I loved my time there. But my next endeavor, on to another industry within agriculture, I'm going to be joining the Turkey Farmers of Ontario. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to joining their team. They got a great team of people there. And, you know, before I started talking to them and researching, I never thought about it, but turkey is really a North American thing for the most part.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? There's no other subspecies. Like, chickens are all the world, but they look different species of chickens, but not the same.
Turkeys are a North American, you think about it. They're indigenous to North America.
True.
Now, there are markets for turkey overseas, and apparently in South America, we got a lot of stuff going down there, and turkey's really popular in Mexico. Now, most of it comes from the U.S., of course, but it's really a North American bird, and they need cooler climates. They don't do as well in the heat. So it's interesting. I'd never stop to think that this is kind of a unique animal to Canada, specifically North America,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool when you stop and kind of pause, and had never really crossed my mind. It's amazing the things that you learn along the way.
It's funny, you know, if in the fullness of time, as the world becomes smaller, that is in terms of trade, that turkey could in fact become it's only this get better and better as other groups. There's always somebody in any society that wants, I'll try that.
Exactly, you know? Right?
And so you look at the whole world, there's somebody over there in Czechoslovakia or in New Zealand says, hey, you know what, I think I'll try some of this bird.
Well, and, you know, think about things that are commonplace in other countries, right? You know, people think nothing of, you know, like horse meat in some countries is a delicacy.
Right.
Or, you know, pig's feet. You know, that idea for some is just, you know, abhorrent. But realistically, everything is unique to culture. And turkeys are neat. They're fascinating. I've raised turkeys, you know, a couple heritage breeds, and they're a funny, animal. They really are. They're a riot.
Yeah.
They're a riot to raise. They're just so different than chickens.
Yeah.
But when you think about the efficiency of converting feed into body mass, they're unique.
Mm-hmm.
They are a unique species, and that's why they've continued. You know, anyone in KW knows when you drive in the early morning, you got to watch out for the wild turkeys in the fall.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. So I'm really excited to be joining the team at the Turkey Farmers of Ontario.
And maybe a bit later on, we'll talk if you've managed to find some fun hobbies and things to do in the midst of all this activity or not.
Not a big deal. Pandemic activities, eh?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you caught up in a lot of things you would always kind of wondered about, too. Who knows?
Right? You never know. Sometimes it has. Sometimes it's that holding pattern. And now that the doors are opening, I've got a few things I'm excited to maybe take in.
Yeah. Sounds good, Krista. This is great. So, I can hardly wait. We're back to some more music again. Tell us about song number three, please.
All right. Song number three is Chris Cornell, who was quite a well-known musician in the 90s, which was kind of, I was told, the music that you spend your late teen years and your early 20s kind of becomes, that's your thing, that's your groove, and now this is going to be our oldies. God help us all. I don't know why, that's kind of scaring me that this is going to be the new oldies, you know? They're like, oh, the 90s music. My son was saying that the other day. Oh, you ever heard of this band? I'm like, yes, honey, they were big in the 90s. So Chris Cornell passed away a couple years ago. He has an amazing voice and has been in a number of really prolific bands, and I've always loved him. I always used to joke he's my rock star boyfriend. He's just got such a beautiful voice.
Go ahead.
It's like rain.
This is Krista Kressman. You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 102.7, Radio Waterloo. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
All right, want to try this one?
Sure.
Just give us 5 minutes here. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Krista Kressman. You are listening to CKMS 102.7, RadioWaterloo.ca.
Good stuff, Krista. You're my new best friend. There we go. I know you practiced that at 7 o'clock this morning just to get it right. You nailed it.
You know it.
All right, we're back with some more great stuff, content from our guest today, Krista Kressman, in episode 279. It's April the 12th of 2020. We talked last about, you know, all the stuff that Chris has been involved in so much, almost worth the show where there are so many insights. Let's move on to what you would tell people about agriculture. So, you know, we got our studios here in downtown Kitchener and, you know, lots of urban folks around. Farmers are only 1 or 2% of the population. They walk in the door and say, Chris, hey, what, you know, said to both of us, what do you two guys know about agriculture? What would you tell them?
That's a really good question, and it's hard. I think that's, you know, you got to boil it down to what's your elevator speech on agriculture. And, you know, I don't think I have one yet. I'm eager to dispel the myths, right. I would say, that anytime a myth comes up, I will jump on it and, you know, do my best to dispel whatever I can and get the right information out there, whether it's Buttergate in the winter of last year or whether it's someone going off about something that they saw on a movie or a video or that sort of thing. I'm always eager to put the Canadian and the Ontario perspective, you know, into that conversation. Because I think, you know, you have to really think locally, because the experience of farmers here is not the same as the experience of farmers out west, which is not the same as the pressures that the farmers experience out east. And Canadian is a lot different than the U.S. So that's the thing. Cities don't understand that farming is not one big smushy pile of all the same.
Right.
There's specialization, there's innovation, there's knowledge. I think the biggest thing I tell people is I wish I could be a farmer, but I'm not sure I'm smart enough and I'm not sure I'm hard enough working.
Right.
And they laugh and they say, Krista, what are you talking about? You got multiple degrees.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but I know what it takes. And let me tell you, that is not a job for morons. Yes, you got to know a lot. And yeah. I think people don't stop to realize that farmers are entrepreneurs.
Right.
They're independent business people who have an entrepreneurial spirit, because you got to have an entrepreneurial spirit, that desire to grow, to produce, to make something, because it's hard. You know, it can be, you know, how many jobs depend on the goodwill of Mother Nature?
Right.
You just don't know. And yeah. So it is a job unique unto itself. And it's not just a job. I think that's another thing that I would say is farming is not just a job. Farming is a lifestyle.
Right.
Because it's not 9 to 5. It's not Monday to Friday. It's, you know, go when it's good. You know, the old saying, make hay when the sun shines.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think you ever really realize it, there is no truer a phrase than make hay when the sun shines when you are a farmer.
Yeah.
You know, you realize you have to make the best of what you are presented with and be as efficient and innovative as you can, because the best farmers are the ones who excel, who innovate, who do new things, who find, you know, workarounds.
Right.
And that's, I think, one of the things that really stands out for me about agriculture is it's innovative, it's entrepreneurial, it's future focused. It, you know, it is not a farmer standing with a piece of straw in his mouth chomping away. That is not the farmers that I know, that I have interacted with,
right.
You know, that is the minority, if anything. They are incredibly intelligent, capable business people,
right.
Who really work hard. They really work hard. And there's, you know, you think about how many industries are 2% and are as essential as, you know, the farming community. Yeah. 2% yeah. are feeding 98.
Yeah. It's, you know, you're right. Some public may not quite have a good idea. Now, the good news is, I've never been disappointed that the public is interested in agriculture.
Absolutely.
And they just really want to know more about stuff, not just what the latest buzzwords are about agriculture.
No, they really care.
Yeah.
I think that's the, you know, when you look at those, reports.
I kind of propose this to you. Suppose, like, we've all had it where, you know, you've seen that aha moment. Have you had the pleasure of explaining something to somebody and they'll suddenly, I get it. Does that ring a bell for you?
Yeah. We've had Steckley, I had them all at Steckley Heritage Farm. I had them all the time.
Right.
You know, people
right.
who, yeah, you know, right. we'd have cows yeah. and they say, well, do you milk these cows? Right. And I'd say, well, that would be tricky. Number one, because they're juveniles. You know, they were still, some of them were calves, some of them were heifers. The other thing, some of them, a lot of the times, they were neutered males. They were yeah, steers.
Right.
So there was definitely no way I was going to be milking a cow that were a steer. That just wasn't going to happen. And
right.
so a lot of people, you know, I think that one of the ahas, too, was that chickens only lay an egg a day.
Yeah.
That was a big, that blew a few. I used to teach a program with little people, you know, under four, and their parents. And I had someone say, they only lay one a day? Yeah, they only lay one a day. And, you know, they don't go years and years laying one a day. Really? Yeah. So it's amazing, you know, the things we take for granted when
right.
you grow
That's
up in a rural
true.
Area,
right?
right. We right. take it for granted.
Yep.
You know, even seasonality. If you live in an area where there's not a lot of green space, it's not their fault that they don't know, right?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, that's what we try to do with this show and hope other people are trying to is to get the message out about agriculture and use the words and the people that they could recognize and go from there type thing. And
I think, too, the opportunities, yeah. you know, I'm sure you see it, Jeff, as, right. you know, you've gone over the years, how things have changed. I see nothing but opportunity when I look at the field of agriculture, whether it's in, you know, food processing, food innovation, or production. We need people in production. We need people, you know, to grow. We need people to harvest. We need people who are passionate about plant biology. We need people who are passionate about animal health and welfare. It's an exciting industry. There are so many jobs right
yep,
now.
That's right.
I wish more people had that thought in their mind, you know, even trades.
Right.
How many trades are there that are related to agriculture when you think about the machinery? You think about the complexity of computers. I know someone who runs a business and they operate drones
yeah.
for crop scouting.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that 10 years ago?
Yeah, I was surprised. I have friends in town and the one guy, I got 20 years on him and he says, what do you know? He says, well, I'm working on robot milking machines. What's going on? I just couldn't believe a young man from town, tech trained, and
there
he was putting assembling and installing.
And those things are amazing.
Yeah.
They have robotic. I was in a really cool, really high tech organic farm in Quebec, and they have a calf care program which is second to none.
Right.
There, and especially with organic, it's much more intensive in terms of the requirements. They have feeders for the calves, which are automated. So right. the calf can go up to drink its milk, and it is activated by their collar,
mm-hmm.
one of their magnets or whatever in their collar or RFID. And so they are able to track how much milk this animal is getting per day so that
right.
it doesn't get too much,
right.
but also doesn't get too little.
So they can monitor its health. If it's not drinking enough, there's
yeah.
some problem too.
Exactly, right? Yeah. You know, you look at cows and their activity monitors, you know.
Yeah.
They've got their fitness, forget your Go, your little watches with your activity monitors. Cows have them. They've had them for years.
Yeah, the Fitbit for cows.
They right. do, it's just incredible,
yeah.
you know. And that technology, it's exciting. Yeah. It really, I think if more people knew how much knowledge is out there, how much really cool research is going on, and how it's directly connected to how we get fed, but also the longevity and the care for our planet, you know? Right. I really, somebody said, actually, at one of the OFA meetings, that what people forget is that that land outside of cities is being cared for by farmers. And I stopped and I thought, oh my goodness, you're totally right. Yep. If it is not a highway, crown land, or a public space, chances are pretty darn good that that land is being stewarded by farmers. And you think, wow, that's incredible, right? That blew me.
For all the things that society wants, there's only about, 10,000-20,000 people are actually doing the stewardship of that land. Yeah,
and you know that stewarding of, people think of farmland as just being this, soccer fields of pure farmable land, but you may have 100 acres, mm-hmm. but not all 100 of them are farmable, right? They're not all cultivated.
Yeah, there's a low spot in a ditch and a tree and whatever else.
Yeah, and you got the green space, and you've got some of the buffer zones. You know, there's so much that farmers are doing to help our environment and to help just keep the future looking bright in terms of soil quality, our water quality. So much thought goes into that. Yeah. And they're so actively engaged in that on a daily basis. And so many people in the city have no idea. And I think they'd be really impressed if they knew mm-hmm. the day-to-day impact that, these stewards of our land. I almost wish that was the tagline: farmers, stewards of our land.
Well, they could wear many hats if you make a living at it. If in fact that their main purpose was to make sure the land was kept in some condition, the farmer would be more than qualified to do that.
And that's what I always used to say to people. If farmers didn't know how to do their jobs, how could farms be passed down generation to right. generation to generation? We have families that have been on the same farm property for 200 plus years, and it's still great productive land. Mm. So that tells you something. Yeah. They eat, they drink, they raise their family on that farm. They have a well where they drink water from, right where they farm. So caring for that land is integral to them. They live there, it's their everyday. Mm.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Let's play another song, and we'll come back to another second bit of our show. We're about halfway through, folks. It's the Agriculture Show, CKMS, and Krista Kressman is our guest. And thanks again for listening in so far. We got a bit more to go in this song. What's this coming up for this time?
We've got Jeremy Dutcher coming up. And Jeremy Dutcher, this is totally out of left field. I believe that he is a classically trained opera singer, but he's Indigenous and discovered this incredible set of wax recordings of old Indigenous songs that had been kept in a locked away somewhere. And so his music, he has a beautiful voice, but I challenge you to not feel the hairs on the back of your neck go up at some of this. It's just, he's pretty spectacular.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, this is jazz musician, singer, and songwriter Tim Lewis. You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo.
Hi, this is John Hill from Ray of Hope. This is CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 on the Rogers Digital Network at 946. On the internet at radiowaterloo.ca and on Facebook Live Video.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do
catch
that.
Podcasts that's of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community
live.
Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music.
That, but then they don't copyright that.
You're listening to the Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo.
I just walk in and
our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Farming can be a tough business, one that sometimes takes its toll on farmers and their families when mental health struggles become too much to bear. I know farmers are some of the toughest people out there, but they tend to hold their troubles close to the chest. Sometimes it means it's harder to reach out for help. We want to help address the stigma that still surrounds mental health and encourage people to talk about it. It takes courage. Please know that help is out there, and it's always okay to ask for help.
Okay, thank you so much for listening in today, folks. The Agriculture Show is Jeff here, and we're back in the studio, and today's guest is Krista Cressman. And, that's a very impressive artist there. Oh, my goodness, huh?
I really encourage people to check out Jeremy Dutcher. He's indigenous. I quick Googled it.
Oh, yeah.
It's Maliseet. He's from out east, and he is native speaking, and he's just incredible.
Yeah.
He's been on the CBC a few times, and his voice, and he plays in some of the songs that he does on his award-winning album. He plays some of those wax recordings, and it's just incredible to think that here are these, you know, these are cultures where singing and storytelling were so, that oral history was so important. You know, it's just incredible to hear the sound of his ancestors' voices. It's very moving, and he's just one heck of a Canadian.
Hmm. Pretty impressive stuff. I can hardly wait. One more song to go, folks. We'll do this next segment, and then we'll have another song until our final outie out. And this segment is, I like to refer to it, you know, the guests think to themselves, you know, geez, I wish that host was so dumb would ask me this question. So with that kind of a fun start, you know, we or if something that came in our conversation, you know, we started off a little bit about Christmas and that tortillere you're making.
Oh, tortillere, yeah.
Yeah, and then we talked a little bit about, you know, what you do, ending up now working for the Turkey Producers Marketing Board of Ontario. And messages about agriculture. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I could talk about it. I know I exhaust I exhaust those around me who are not in the industry, you know. I guess it's like any industry, if you're passionate about it, better stick to it.
You know, I think we're on the right track. I'm just going to throw something in here, like when we're playing that last song, a guest came into our studio, a young man looking for some information about a radio station, and he overheard Chris and I talking about agriculture. Did you hear what the young guy said?
No.
In there?
What did he say?
Oh, he says, I really liked your conversation while I was listening. Tell me that farmers. Farmers are important, he says. There's a guy who just walked in our studio door here at the station.
Yeah. They're trust, you know, and they're one of the professions when they do those studies of, you know, who are the most trusted, and they say, you know, farmers, doctors, lawyers, police officers, teachers, you know, farmers are always top of the list.
I think what he was talking to was not just the trust factor, but also the fact that agriculture is important.
Yeah.
And a lot of families are farming.
I think, too, what's really interesting, and I experienced this myself when I was at Steckley Heritage Farm, there are a lot of immigrant groups, especially coming from, like, even groups that have come from refugee status, where they're coming from countries where agriculture is much closer. And so, for example, Syria, we had a lot of immigrants come from Syria. There were a great number of them who actually were from a farming background. And I had the opportunity to hire a gentleman, Abdulaziz, and he worked with me despite the language difference. And he came from a farm where he raised sheep. He raised goats. And he had, I think he said he had a 16-acre pomegranate orchard. So here's someone who came, you know, he had to leave all of that behind, he and his family. And, you know, he came from the agriculture background. And when you, I saw this a lot when I had school groups coming through with, you know, kids who were from first-generation Canadians, and their families remember, you know, oh, yeah, you know, my mom, my grandma always had chickens, you know, that sort of thing. And so it's amazing. There are so many. We may be further away from agriculture. You know, they used to say, you know, one in 10 in the 1930s, one in every 10 people lived on a farm. Now it's one in every 48 or 49. And you think about in other countries across the world, they're closer, you know, they're closer. The ties to agriculture are much closer. So we'll, you know, that's the cool part.
Your story really resonates with the experience I had this summer. So I'm farming away there, and this guy comes in the driveway, and he knows my tenant, and they're talking about gardening or something, and I forget what it was. And then next thing you know, this guy, he says, hey, my dad's over here from India just for a visit. He might be here for a while, and this he's a farmer. He wants to come out to the farm. I said, well, come on out. And, you know, the old guy is just tractor. He recognized a farm cluster. Had the house and the barn and machinery and stuff, and his son, the guy who first talked to, thought he didn't see his dad smile for quite a while, so he felt at home.
Cool.
And it's, you know, it goes back to what you're saying. A lot of Syrians, a lot of immigrants do, because there are a lot of agricultural in India. Well, it's just in the news not too long ago. You see where they closed the streets.
They
down,
did,
and they successfully had the government rescind the new agricultural act, whatever.
That's
how powerful some of those farm.
Which is incredible, and that that working together, that collective action is impressive. But for people, the reason it was so powerful and the numbers were so significant is because more people are directly connected.
Yes.
It's that direct connection. If you're in an urban area, you're not going to have those direct connections. But there are still, you know, I guess it's as societies modernize, you see that move away from rural to the urban, you know, the urban communities. And that's when you see people leaving the rural communities. That happens as, you know, countries become more digitized and everything like that. You know, we have, India is just as advanced as we are. They have fantastic educational. They say most of our IT sector, you know, more than half of our IT sector is, you know, staffed by people from South Asia. And here we are also having a country, you know, like India or Pakistan, where, you know, agriculture is still so really integral to day-to-day life, you know, even families who have their home gardens.
Yeah, so it's surprising. There's a lot of all of us Canadians have an interesting approach to farms. Some distant, but other newer Canadians quite close yet.
I heard Sylvain Charlebois, who's a researcher with the food economy, on the CBC yesterday, and he was saying that what's really interesting is how many families are more connected with the food and are becoming more aware because of the pandemic, the rising cost of food. There's more people going back to learning about gardening and trying their hand at gardening. And I think gardening is a great way for people to gain an appreciation for the work that goes into cultivating and ultimately harvesting food, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, it's so many opportunities. This is a further to the story I was mentioning, but I forget about it. But it's that I was telling some of these guys that farming, especially around the Kitchener-Waterloo area, doesn't need to be just about cows and chickens.
No.
Agritainment, just general generic term.
Yep.
I said to the guy, you guys should buy a farm, and what you do is you bring all the old-timers out and hang around the farm for a day. And
Let them drive the tractors around.
Yeah. How many of your parents, have always had a farm connection? And you could argue that what a great way to get young people involved in agriculture. Like, what little kid wouldn't mind boom, 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 or something?
I'll tell you, it's definitely those. We had an old Ford tractor that somebody donated, and we just parked it, and that was the favorite. All the kids had to climb up, got to climb on that tractor. That was their number one favorite thing. And you know, I got to be honest, there's something about driving a tractor. I love driving our old International.
Yeah.
Love that tractor.
So there's some interesting stuff going out there, and we really appreciate our urban listeners and whatever they think about agriculture. We're more than glad to tell all kinds of cool stories and what things are like. And
we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them, because realistically, they're the consumers, right? They're the ones who complete that circle.
You're going to like my Audi out when we get to that point. I'll remember it.
Your Audi out.
Yeah. That's what I call it, the Audi out. It's the extra, I guess, not the intro. So anything else you want to add to the discussion about all that stuff we covered so much? I don't know where to start. Christy, we talked a little bit about some of the actual things going on in agriculture vis-a-vis your job and what you're doing, some of the actual things that have to be done in agriculture. And
the only thing I wish I could be a for real farmer. I'm the pretend farmer. You know, I've managed a farm, but I've always wished I could be a for real farmer.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I've been just delayed to have guests. You're a for real farmer, but I think about guests who were born, who are working in agriculture now, but were born and raised in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the downside of having all these long term families out in the country was it's a bit of an echo chamber, and they
definitely
it's so much of a lifestyle. You had a few other things. But those unique individuals who cross that border,
they're really incredible.
They live downtown Toronto, and now they're out working in some kind of agricultural project, and their vision is really cool, man.
It blows me away, especially when those people leave the city and go into market gardening, because it's tough to make a buck selling carrots.
Yeah.
That is a tough road to hoe, so to speak. And so when those people leave the city and tackle that kind of challenge, boof.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't realize you don't realize, having grown up on a farm, because I didn't grow up on a farm, the amount of knowledge that you internalize from a young age on how to do things.
Right.
You know, when I had my first, I delivered my first lamb, and it was a problem. She wouldn't nurse. And I called my friend who grew up on a dairy farm. I'm like, what do I do? What's the trick? I don't know, man. Got this lamb. Help me out. And, you know, does she run a farm now? No. But she had that knowledge because she grew up. You know, you just grew up doing it. You take it for granted, you know. You know all the ways you can use baling twine.
That's a good story, Chris. I like that one. That's good. Well, we could go on a bit more, but we could just roll right along to our next song before we finish the day here. What do you got queued up for us for the last song?
I picked up a guy who's all about love, peace, and happiness, and pick me up for the end. And I've seen him in concert, and he puts on a great show and a lot of fun. I'm hoping he'll come back to Canada and in the post-pandemic world. And it's Michael Franti and Spearhead.
Like a stranger, another lonely day.
Even though my soul's tired, I'm gonna try and find a way.
And I don't know, sometimes I'm out of words to say, but all I know is when you hold me, I see a brighter day. People.
We're all people, man.
We're all people. Yes, we are.
We rock in Africa like it's automatic. We rock the Middle East because we rock nomadic attic. Like giants, we rock San Francisco. We rock Iceland because we're super cool, you know. We hit New York and then to Alabama, Bama. Out to Chicago and then to Coachella, Ella. Down in Rio is where I want to see you with the drink in your hand with the tiny pink umbrella, Ella. Hey, then we have the Bali, Bali, Shanghai, Ibiza, back to Cali, Cali. Bonnaroo, we rock, Glastonbury, we rock, Burning Man, because it's very necessary. It's alright.
Hi, I'm Tia. You're listening to CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo.
And this is Paul Schultz here at CKMS Radio 102.7 on the FM dial. You are listening to The Agricultural Show.
My name is Stephanie Scott. I'm at the University of Waterloo, and I live in Waterloo Region. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We're live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 on the Rogers Digital Network at 946 and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You're listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents farmer producers in the Waterloo region. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that's emblematic of the Waterloo region. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
So we have lots of fun times talking in between shows here, but welcome back, everyone. Krista Cressman is our guest today, and we're in the last bit of our show today, our outie out. I call it the outro, I guess, actually.
I love that, the outie out. Outie out. Makes me think of belly buttons, though.
yeah, that's right. Yeah, in-season, out-season, don't you? I forgot about that. Excuse me. So what I'd like to ask, I guess, is before they head out the door is just for fun, I'd like to know, what are you doing in the coming up in the future? So, Krista, what are you doing the next 2 hours and 2 days and 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years? 20, if you want to go that far. What do you do next 2 hours?
Oh, gosh, that's tough. You know, I always say that the worst interview question is, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah.
I don't see myself in 5 years. I'm seeing myself. I have trouble figuring out what I'm going to eat for breakfast tomorrow.
Yeah.
But truthfully, the next 2 hours is going to be getting home, feeding my family, walking the dogs, doing that sort of thing. The next, you know, 2 weeks are kind of exciting because I'm onboarting with the Turkey Farmers of Ontario, which I'm really, really excited about that. The next 2 months is really looking forward to that spring growing. Just got a big old bag of soil delivered this morning. So
yeah, think about that in a way. Yeah. You're a bit messing around with that probably today.
Yeah,
too.
It'll be, those are, you know, that's the spring thing, right? Getting, yeah. my daughter's doing the agricultural high school major specialist program. And so they take, it's sort of like an extra thing you can do. And so they've been taking classes around agriculture and green industries and landscaping and farming, all kinds of really cool stuff. And so they've volunteered to maybe aid me in setting up a garden. They want to have some vegetables this year and also would like to maybe assist me in the landscaping. So I may have some, that's going to be in the next 2 months. I'm going to be contracting some child labor. Well, I guess she's not a child really. So contracting youth labor. And oh boy, 2 years. I'm really looking forward to traveling again.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss going, you know. I'm one of those people who loves to go to new places, and I have to say I always am looking out for the agricultural part too. It's kind of, I love getting out of the cities, getting out of the typical areas and seeing, you know, when I was in, I love Cuba, and I've been through, you know, citrus orchards, stopped at some small farm holders. There's one area that's where all the coffee grows, been through some sugarcane fields, and I just love going to different places and seeing how people do things differently. They've got, there was a while back, I think in the 90s, Canada shipped some dairy genetics over to Cuba. It was quite a big project. Well, I'll tell you, there's some pretty funny looking Holstein spotted cows that I spied when I was in Cuba
time. I do remember that big adventure.
The big adventure. You can,
that to give, it takes a lot of microphone, little thing like this, and have Chris's travelog.
The travelog. Well, you know, they do
play that back or something.
I see those farm tours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, that looks like one heck of a good tour.
Right.
You know, I think, oh, and you could just blend that. I'm a big cheese lover. If you could just kind of do, you could do the agricultural tour with sort of the food products that go along with it.
Gotcha.
And that'd be all right, you know.
Yeah.
With my love of dairy animals, you know, I'd be all right. I could
pretty,
be
a pretty lucky person, pretty
happy.
All
the cheese, I'd be happy. Cheese and chocolate, baby. So yeah, 2 years, definitely the traveling is a big thing. I really am looking forward to being able to travel, even just to see family, you know?
Yeah. Not worrying. Like you're saying, you got folks out west.
Got folks out west.
Yeah,
and
what
love,
a good excuse to go for a drive, see what's going on.
Yeah, I love it. I love Alberta. It's totally different. I went last year for the first time during canola harvest.
Yeah.
And I had to stop and ask someone, like, explain to me how this works. Like, what's the process of cutting and swathing and, you know, how does it work? Because we don't really have canola fields.
Yeah, not like that.
No, no. And so it was fascinating. Yeah. I really, really found that interesting to see, you know, with more arid climates, how do they do things differently, you know? And even, I didn't go out to BC, but I did a virtual tour, you know, of a dairy barn in BC, and little things like, they have to cover their manure storage because of the rain.
Mm.
And that never occurred to me. I thought, oh my goodness, yeah. And you think, wow, we take for granted that our experience of agriculture is kind of the experience. And it always fascinates me, you know, going to different places and seeing just how different, how environments influence the way things are done, but also cultures, right? The cultures influence what is being farmed or how farming is happening. And so I'm always looking forward to new opportunities, to see new stuff.
Be pretty cool, eh? There's a lot of interesting stuff out there that way. There's lots of YouTubes and guys talking about farm stuff. It's quite impressive.
We've been forced with this pandemic to be innovative, eh? You know, all those tours that we used to do in person, instead, you know, someone's going through with a camera. And yeah, it's not as good as being there, but there's a lot more people who've got to see a lot more stuff, you know, or engage in a way, perhaps, that they wouldn't otherwise have engaged because travel was limiting.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's kind of interesting. There's been a lot of good things that have come out of this 2 years of craziness. Yeah. So now spring has sprung out there. It's a beautiful, sunny, warm 17 degrees.
Yeah, and you're going to be messing around with your big old bag of topsoil.
My big old bag of soil.
Yeah.
Me and my big old bag of soil.
Playing some tunes, maybe?
Yeah, get the music going, the shovels out, get the wheelbarrow going.
Pretty cool.
It'll be all right. It's a sunny day. Bring it on. Bring on the spring.
Well, I just want to thank you so much, Krista, for coming out today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff.
We've been messing around trying to get this done for a while with studio closure and so on, and here we are finally done, and thank you so much for doing that. And for our dear listeners, thank you again for tuning in today, and come back in 6 days and 22 hours.
Days and 22 hours, yeah, we'll be here.
Hopefully have another guest in the studio. If not, it'll be a replay of one of our wonderful shows. So with that, remember, folks, if you ate today, thank a farmer. And if you're a farmer, thank a consumer. Thank you very much. Talk to you later.
I like that one.
All right.